Fixen. Welcome back to What The F-Stop. I'm your host, Jamal. Apologise if I sound a bit strange, carrying a cold, thankfully not the dreaded C-word. Today on episode 3, I talked to the talented Lydia. She's a photographer working out of London. We had a great chat about the pressures of social media, having the best gear and her work. So let's jump right in. Okay, welcome back, guys. I'd like to introduce my next guest, Lydia.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everyone. My name's Lydia. Lids.pixtalk on Instagram. I'm a queer film photographer from London. Been shooting for about a year and a half or so. Yeah.
Yeah, so like, what made you like start doing photography? Like, what kick-started it all?
So, basically, I live in London at the moment, and when lockdown hit, my mum lives on her own, so I kind of had to go home to be there for her. When I was at home, we ended up just kind of redecorating the whole house, clearing out all the drawers, and I found an old point-and-shoot camera. It was just an Olympus, I can't even remember the name of it now, just a small little Olympus, and I thought, I'm just going to give this a whirl, like, why not, let's just see. So I bought some film off eBay. Yeah. Shot some stuff, got it developed, and it was all blank. And it was because I kept opening the back, and I didn't realise that when you let light into film, it was black. So then I was thinking, okay, well, I kind of like the process of not knowing what you can see, so I'll invest in an SLR. So just invested in a OM10 from eBay for like 120 quid, and then just got shooting and just taught myself, like watched YouTube videos and followed loads of film photographers on Instagram. And then maybe 2 or 3 months later, I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to put this on Instagram, put it on the web and just see where it takes me. And here we are, like a year and a half later. So yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So like, would you say, how long did it take you to kind of, you know, you said you didn't know what you was expecting from the images. How long did it take you to like, finally, like when you took a photo, you kind of knew it was going to be a good one?
I don't know, really. The first roll that I shot with my SLR was actually on my birthday. I was with my girlfriend and my best friend at the time. And I remember being like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea what the f-stop means, what the shutter speed means, what the, like, anything means. I'm just shooting and hoping. And the good thing about that camera, it had a manual, an automatic, sorry. So you can put it to the automatic setting. And I got the pictures back, and I was like, wow, I'm amazing. There was a couple of shots in there, and it was obviously all because like, all the lighting was done automatic. Everything was done. The only thing I needed to do was focus. But then some shots were just ridiculous. And I thought, this is really fun. I, like, much prefer this to just getting my camera and being like, woohoo, you know?
Yeah.
And I think when you shoot film, sometimes you can tell when a shot is going to come out good. There's like a couple in a row.
Yeah, you're definitely. Like,
oh, I really felt that. Like, I really felt that was going to be a good shot. But like, it's all trial and error, complete trial and error. And a lot of the time, I just go with the intention, like, hit and hope. That's kind of that hitting and hoping. My friend Chad from home, he shoots film. And I used to look at his pictures online, but, oh, my God, I love what he does. And he shot something, like, dark indoors before. And he said, Lids, I just hit and hope. I don't know what, you know, with film, you don't necessarily know what you're going to get. You just kind of, you line it up and you do the right shutter speed and you kind of sort the f-stop and you hope. And then if it comes out good, great. If it doesn't, then, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I've been guilty of doing that.
Yeah.
You said you were shooting automatic. Do you still shoot automatic, or are you like an old school person, like to like manual settings?
Do you know what? It honestly varies. The more that I've been doing it, the more kind of very low key jobs. Like, it's very difficult to make money doing what we do. But if there's something that, if it's something that I feel really confident, if it's in like low lighting or something that I know that I need to nail the shots with, I will sometimes put it on automatic. And I don't necessarily want to feel like I have to do it manually and I have to get every shot right manually, because everyone's still learning. And I think, you know, sometimes it's good to see something automatic and be like, okay, well, that's what I could have done, or, you know. So yes and no. Most of the time it's manual because I like to learn, and like, you learn so much from your depth of
trial and error.
But yes, sometimes if I'm really pressed to get a good shot and I'm like, you know what, I just want to take three or four where I know that all the settings are going to be right and I can count on those three or four shots, then I'd do that. But most of the time it's manual.
Yeah, no, I haven't stepped into the manual field yet. I've always shot all my aperture priority.
No. I think it's a really good way of grasping your style and grasping, you know, what you want, how you want it to look. Because if you're setting up the shots, you're directing them anyway. So you're directing the models, or you're directing the whatever you're shooting, you're setting that up. So you, it's all you. But when you shoot manually, you could shoot a whole roll and then it's just, there's nothing there. So I think you've got, I think it's using both. I think, like, you know, testing stuff out and seeing what works and what doesn't. And like, if it's low lighting, like, be very, still very scared of low lighting. I'm not very comfortable with low lighting. And I'm also not hugely comfortable with studio light. I kind of like natural light. I feel very comfortable in natural light. The good thing about my camera is it has a light meter in it as well. So if that really helps you. So I definitely would. I just think dabble with it. Take a couple of like Color Plus rolls, really cheap rolls, and just go out and shoot some stuff completely manually and see like what would work, what doesn't work, and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna definitely give it a go.
You never know.
You mentioned style earlier. Like, how would you describe your style?
Won't we discuss this before the podcast? I honestly was thinking about this question when you sent it to me, and I thought, I don't know what my style is. I really don't. I think I'm still, I hate to be that cliche, like, I don't have a style, I just shoot. But I really don't know what my style is at the moment. I think I'm still figuring it out. There's things that I definitely prefer shooting. I definitely prefer shooting portraiture. And
yeah, same here.
Yeah, there's something about it, you know, it's like capturing the essence of someone. I also love shooting like conceptual stuff. So something, I did a shoot recently where me and my girlfriend's a makeup artist, so we just had this idea, we wanted to do something kind of like a bit weird and wacky. So we just got a couple of models and then put like elf ears on them and got a designer's clothes. And they were...
Oh yeah, I see. Yeah, the acid fairies.
Yeah, we found like
I love that set.
Thank you. It was just this little location in London. It's called St. Dunstan in the East. It's so random. It's near London Bridge. And it's like old castle ruins in the middle of the city. And we thought that would be a cool place to shoot. Like, if we get these models to look like a bit weird and like elf-like and get them in some really cool out there designs. I'm still figuring it out. I really don't know. There's lots of things I like shooting stuff that has like something when you see it and it looks different. It's not, I don't know. I can't pin it. I just can't pin it down. I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe kind of like dreamlike, a bit creative, a bit more. I'm really bad with like descriptive words. I'm just trying to figure it out. I think, like I said before, like trial and error, just, you know, go with it. Completely. Yeah, 100%. I find that people have particular styles and people resonate with particular styles. There's some people that I follow in the film community that are amazing at landscapes and are amazing at settings or amazing at, you know, capturing nature or just things that they see. And then I follow people that are amazing at portraits, and that there's other people that I follow that are amazing at like conceptual art and creative photography. And I think it's just figuring out what resonates most with you. And I think I'm like half portraits and half concept creative different. I don't know. I think it's still, I'm just trying to figure it out. Still has to go, you know?
Yeah, still a long way to go. And would you say you have any, what would influence you with, what would be your influential, like, who influenced you?
In terms of, like, in terms of photographers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely adore, I always post her, I absolutely adore Peggy Shoots Film. She's based in LA and she only shoots on film. She just shoots Color Plus and Ultramax. Like, she doesn't, you know, I have that kind of weird thing where it's like, oh, well, portrait is better, so you should use the more expensive film and it's going to make your pictures look better. And she kind of has the ideology that's like, you can just shoot with whatever film as long as you know what you're doing. And a lot of her work is, again, it's conceptual. There's always kind of some kind of story and some kind of setting and some kind of scene. She often, as far as I'm aware, I mean, I don't know her personally, but she would like rent a place that would match what the model was wearing. Or her fit, her like photography has a very kind of like dreamlike fairy essence to it, and it also has very much an LA vibe, if that is any sort of
sunny.
Like theme. Yeah, just kind of like really beautifully shot. And I think that as a photographer, she doesn't really mind mistakes. You know, some of her shots are kind of you know, darker or lighter or like a bit out of focus, but they kind of work. And I think it's embracing that. I love her. And I love Ned Kelly as well. Ned Kelly's like insane. He and his girlfriend are like a travel photography couple. But they shoot beautiful, amazing pictures. But their sort of work doesn't necessarily like link to what I would shoot, but I love their work. And Bones, if you've heard of them, Bones are amazing. Bones, oh my God, Bones are amazing. They edit their pictures in a certain way that gives them this like oversaturated, like really weirdly coloured photos. Again, kind of conceptual. But yeah, those three I would definitely probably say are like the ones that I love.
Yeah, so like you mentioned with the Portra versus, you know, the Ultramax, like what do you prefer shooting? Because I've been found guilty of going for like the portraits and like the city still, like, oh, I've got to shoot that because that's what everyone's shooting.
I think all of us are kind of we just jump on board the bandwagon when we hear about certain film, you know, when someone's like, oh, you need to shoot portrait 800, it's amazing, and then you shoot it and you're actually like, oh yeah, it's good. But then you think, for £6 less, and film is so expensive, it's something you really have to, you know, make time for when you get your salary. You know, you have to put a bit aside.
It's definitely the downside to it. The money that goes into it.
It is, definitely. I love shooting portrait is probably a go-to if I'm shooting portraits, but I'm also now trying to save my money. So I think I'm just like leaning towards just using Ultramax or just using the cheaper film stocks like Fuji. I don't even use Fuji. Fuji. I know it's really bad. I'm just like Kodak. You know? So I think it's up to you. what you use, and sometimes people prefer using like stronger, certain, they have certain differences. People might be mad when I say this, but I don't necessarily see like a massive difference.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's all the way that you shoot rather than the film you use. The film you use probably adds like 10-20% difference, but ultimately it's the shot, the lighting, you know, what's going on in the shot, everything. So save your money.
I think people definitely get caught up in like the best gear, the best film stock, you know, 100%. They go off that rather than kind of concentrating on what they actually want to shoot.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like that. I've been a bit of a victim to it as well, like thinking that I need certain lenses and I need, you know, certain filters, and playing around with certain lenses and certain filters has made me realise that it adds stuff to a certain extent, but ultimately what it boils down to is you as a photographer and your style.
Yeah.
And with any film and any gear, you know, my dad used to, this is going a bit off topic, but I used to play football. My dad used to say to me, it's not about the boots that you wear, it's the feet inside them, you know? Yeah. And that's the same. Like, it's the photographer behind the camera that are making the shots good, not the film and the lens and the everything else that goes with it. So I think that's my mentality now.
Yeah. So you said you've been shooting for almost, like, what, a year now, you'd say, or more than a year?
Yeah, about a year, yeah.
And have you come up against any obstacles so far?
There's been a couple. I think, do you know what? I think one of the main things is that when you put your work on Instagram and you put your work online, you feel as if you have to keep producing work for people to see. And you feel like you just have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And then when you do have something you want to upload, because of the algorithm, it's messed up, you don't get that reaction that you thought you were going to get. It's like a shot that you love. You're like, oh my God, I love this. And then you don't get the reaction. And then it kind of like diminishes you a bit, and it like hurts your ego, or hurts you a bit. And I think I've definitely felt, you know, I felt sometimes that, you know, if it's over 2-3 weeks, I'm like, oh, well, I'm just going to, you know, no one's going to want to see my stuff anymore. And that, I think that's silly. I've learned in the beginning, I was posting like week after week after week after week. And it was the content that, I say content, I say work, because we get mixed up as well with like work, content is work, you know. I think I was very much like, oh, I need to post because otherwise people aren't going to be interested anymore. And now I've realised that it's not even about anyone else. As long as I'm happy with the work that I'm producing, then other people can come along the journey with me, then that's fine. So that was a struggle. I think the social media side of things definitely like kind of messes with your brain a bit when you first step into it. And
yeah.
Another thing that I've recently come across is copyright and owning your images and making sure that you protect your work. I had a job recently. It was unpaid, but my expenses were covered. And I won't go into too much detail, but there was a crossover between me saying, like, I own these images because they're my, you know, photography, and then the client coming back and saying, well, you can't, they're mine because it's, they're my designs or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of a weird scenario there, and it definitely was a lesson learned. It's made me realize, you know, if I do work professionally and get paid, you should definitely send out a photo release and say that, you know, you own the copyright and that's your work. You know, you should be credited for that work. And sometimes people say, like, you shouldn't let people edit your photos as well. So it's just something, like, that you have to figure out as a photographer. But it was a good lesson for me. It was a really good lesson. So, yes, that as well.
Yeah, the social media thing is, I think, is quite a big thing. Like, even though I'm not a professional photographer, like when I first like started like uploading images, it was like, oh, like I need to keep going. I need to keep going, and I just like end up just shooting for the sake of it, anything, not even shooting anything meaningful. It was just like, I need to shoot to get something out this week.
Yeah.
And
it's a horrible, like, overwhelming feeling that you feel obliged to upload all the time and for no other reason but for other people.
Yeah.
And when I first started shooting film, I started shooting a film because I wanted to see the pictures. Like, I was like, oh, well, this, you know, I want to see them, like, developed and what they look like. And then when you go on Instagram and you get followers and people start recognizing your work, you then think, oh, I need to upload, because otherwise these people are going to be really uninterested and they're going to hate my work.
You can't let them down.
You know? So it does mess with your head, for sure. There's been a couple of times where I've been like, I just need to shoot anything, you know?
Yeah, so I haven't picked up a camera in like 4 weeks now. And it's just, I'm like, oh, I need to shoot something. But there's nothing come to me yet where I'm like, that is worth shooting.
And that's a good way to look at it, because if there's nothing that you're going to be proud of, then what's the point of wasting your money on film and wasting your money on development if you're not going to be proud of it? At the end of the day, I'm trying to recognise that it's about me and it's about what I like, you know, rather than what other people will like. Don't just shoot things that you think will be really good in the algorithm and that people will repost. Just post things that you like. So I think just wait until...
You'll find your circle for sure, definitely. You'll find a group that appreciates your work and it's just not there.
Yeah. I really feel like that. And with the film community, since starting my page, I've like spoken to people all over the world that all shoot film.
Yeah.
And everyone is so supportive and everyone has the same struggle. It's a really nice community, and I never really expected to find a community like that online. It's like a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I have my personal account with my friends and my family and whatever, and then I have the film account and all these people that do the same thing, and we shoot, you know, film, and we all have the same struggles and stuff. It's a really nice place that you can like connect with people. It's cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. When I shoot, like, I don't know, like my personal account, everyone's just like, meh, like, all right, cool. And then, like, when I posted a film community, like, get praise and
I've spoken
to people, like, around the world. And it's like, when I first started, I would, like, never have imagined speaking to people from, like, America and people from Europe.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's
the film communities, it's a great place.
Yeah, definitely. I really feel that.
And going back to gear, like what is your setup at the moment?
it's not very exciting. I have a OM10 50mm lens, I think. So I mean, even like just having to tell you what I use, I'm not like fully, you know, it was just the lens that came with the camera. I think it's a 50mm, and then I invested in, it was like £50. I invested in a zoom lens because I found a lot of the stuff I was shooting, I couldn't get the whole person in. So I needed a zoom lens.
Yeah.
So I got a 35-70mm, I think it was a 2.8 Zuiko lens. I don't use that very often. I mainly just stick to the 50mm. I feel most comfortable with that.
Yeah. So, like you said, trial and error. Has there been like a time where, like, when you was like starting out, that you just thought, "Oh, fuck it, I just don't want to do this anymore"? Yeah.
So many times. There was a shoot. It was just like a random little creative shoot that I did for my girlfriend. And we tried to be like cool and a bit creative with like a grapefruit. And I had the camera off. The camera was off. So the settings didn't work. So it still took the picture because it was still, if you still like take the picture and roll it, it'll still take the picture. All the settings were off. And like the lighting was bad, it was blurry. And there's been multiple times like that where you shoot a roll of film and you just think, oh, my camera was off, or you know, I didn't get enough light in, or the shutter speed was completely wrong, or, and you feel like you've wasted your money, you feel like you've wasted your time. But then there's something that's still like, well, I've learned from that now. I know that I need to make sure my camera's on. I need to make sure that I've got the right f-stop. Yeah, there's been a lot of times, and sometimes it is, I do sometimes have those feelings where I think maybe I should just invest in a digital camera and I could just see it and then I could like take the picture. And then another side of me is like, well, you don't even like digital, so why would you even do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is trial and error, and it is, you will face a lot of challenges with film, I think. I'm still facing them, I'm still learning them. And I'm definitely not anywhere near some of the, like, the top, you know, there's some film photographers out there that I'm literally blown away by. Serious film, she's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, there's people out there that are just, they just know what they're doing and they know how to shoot. I still don't know how to shoot film, I don't think.
Yeah, it's still a learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something like, same with like the topic about manual and automatic. You just kind of, you never really know. I don't know. Even with automatic, you're still figuring stuff out. You're still figuring out like positions and focus. Focus is a massive thing. You know, if your focus is off, then it doesn't even matter about the automatic, you know? So it's, you're just figuring it out. Yeah. But, I think, you know, if you want to do it, you should just do it.
Sure. And what would you say is like your favourite part of like doing film photography? Like, what makes you go out and want to shoot?
I think it's when I have an idea. It's the initial stage of an idea, I think. A lot of the time I try and just, you know, shoot things that I think would look cool. And they don't, and they come out really bad. And then other times it'll be an idea that springs to mind, or other photographers' work that I'd be inspired by. And I'd go, oh, I'd like to do something like that, but, you know, put my own spin on it. Not necessarily copy it, because at the end of the day, probably everyone's work has been copied at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you get inspiration, your inspiration comes from an idea that's been done prior to that idea and before and before and before. So it's all kind of like filtered down. I think it comes from ideas just like randomly cropping up. I think it comes from discussions. Particularly, I keep banging on about my girlfriend, but me and my girlfriend are quite creative together. So we come up with like the concepts that we want to do and what we want to shoot. And there's a couple that we've spoken about that haven't like got off the ground yet. And I think it's just that. I think it's just finding inspiration from, I definitely find a lot of inspiration from other people's work and kind of like mixing all that together and just trying to come up with something that looks aesthetically pleasing to me. And just talking to people, you know, sometimes you might meet someone and they just bring something up and you think, oh, that's like quite a nice idea. Or, you know, if you're doing portraits, when you get to know that person on a one-to-one level, you kind of figure out what kind of portraits you would want to shoot and what angles you would want to shoot that would show them in the best light and show their character and the essence of that person. I think inspiration can come from anywhere at any, you know, I think it just, an idea just can come to you at any point. And it's really good to like relish in it, you know?
Yeah. You said you got some ideas like in the pipeline. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Or is it a secret?
No, it's not a secret. Like, if you want to do it, you do it. So we want to do like a femme fatale shoot where we get like a really cool, badass model. It doesn't sound good when English people say badass. I want to use more diverse models, queer models, curve models. I want to really like photograph people that at everyday people, not just kind of the stereotypical fashion models. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, those models are amazing and they do their job really well. But I also feel like being queer myself, like I definitely want to photograph more diversity. So I want to do like a femme fatale shoot and hopefully like rent a cool location where we can really kind of relish in that idea and concept. And I've also got a lot of my friends are LGBT, so for Pride Month, not necessarily even for Pride Month, just as a passion project, I want to photograph queer couples in kind of soft and delicate intimate spaces, in a sense, to just kind of give what's the word, you know, just share that queer couples and queer culture is just exactly the same as heterosexual couples, you know, cisgender couples. And a lot of my friends are queer, so I've got quite a few couples lined up to do little photo shoots with. And ideally what I'd do is make it into a zine or, like, put it on at a gallery.
Yes, and do you have a, like, dream collab? Like, what would be, like, your, what would be, like, if you had a your project? Like, who would you want, like, celebrity-wise or just anyone, like, really,
ooh,
who would be, like, your dream person
think...
to take a picture of?
Oh my god. Maybe Rihanna? That just came to me out of nowhere.
The guy I told you I interviewed yesterday said Rihanna.
Really?
As well.
No way!
Yeah. No way. I think Rihanna's like everyone's go-tos.
That's really weird because I hadn't even like thought about that question. I think I would love to photograph Rihanna. Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Billie Eilish. I've just her recent album cover is shot on film, which is amazing as well. In terms of celebrities, I think maybe Rihanna and Billie Eilish. Who else would I love to shoot? I don't know. God, at this stage, if it's paid, count me in. You know.
Yeah.
If I was going to do like a collaboration on film photography with someone, there's a photographer called Now This Is Film. She's called Shannon Beveridge. She was probably one of the first people I saw shooting film. She's like a YouTuber and I've been watching her for like years. Not in a weird way, but you know, like just in a normal way. Like, and she's like shot film a very long time ago and I love her stuff. So if I was doing a collaboration with a photographer, I'd like to shoot with her. She's really cool. Peggy as well.
Have to check her out.
Peggy shoots film would be definitely up there. Yeah. I think Billie Eilish and Rihanna maybe. I think those would be the two.
Those are your go-tos.
Yeah.
So like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Do you see yourself like fully fledged photographer?
Do you know what? It would be amazing. And, you know, if I could get paid for, like, doing film photography, that would be, like, insane. But at this stage, not to sound like an idiot, but at this stage, I don't even know where I'm going to be next week or next month because I'm one of those people that's very future-focused and I don't stay present. I'm not good at staying present. But, yeah, I mean, I'm steering away from the five-year question. 5 years' time, it'd be really cool if I was, you know, a fully-fledged paid film photographer, you know, with my own, like, studio that I could rent out. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're big dreams, aren't they? You know,
it's going to happen. You got to manifest it, as they say. You got to speak it into manifest. I want to say thank you for joining me on this podcast.
It's been a pleasure. Anna, it's been absolutely sick.
Anna, where can you tell the listeners to find your stuff?
Lids That Pics Took is my Instagram, and my website is also lidsthatpicstook.com. Lids with a Y, L-Y-D-S, That Pics Took. Just a reverse. I don't really know. It's a stupid name, really. I was trying to think of a
Make cool sure it's in the, I'll make sure to put it in the information on the episode.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. So, it's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for joining me.
This is my first ever podcast, so woohoo.
Many more to come, I hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed. 5 years.
Thanks for listening, and you can check out more of Lydia's work in the description. Next week, I'll be talking to Poon from Thailand about her amazing project, The Femgraph. Don't forget, if you enjoyed the episode, to leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram. Thanks again, and catch you next time.